God in a weary land of shelter in the time of storm. Good morning, everyone. We're glad to have visitors with us today. We're delighted that you've come our way. And we trust and pray that God will help us to make this service a service that will bring honor and glory unto God. A service that will encourage us, motivate us to be closer to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And hopefully those who have never been baptized will today decide they want to honor the command of Jesus and obey Him and be baptized. Those who need to be restored will not hesitate, but will come forward, ask God to help you and strengthen you, to encourage you to live faithful in the service of our King. You've got to sing God is so good. Would y'all mind please standing again? Let's sing it together, would you? God is so good. I start thinking about all the good things that God has given us. And I just feel like I want to sing God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. He good. Saved my soul. And He made me. What will we do? I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. Thank you so very much. You did so well. What a wonderful thing it is to gather together at O'Neill to worship God in spirit and in truth, knowing people love you, care for you, and tonight to have an exalted privilege of coming back, the Lord willing, to hear a sermon by a man whose name is Al Burns. Come back tonight. Listen to the Word of the Lord. I hope and trust that as we study our lesson today, that we'll all realize how important it is for us not to fall for deception. Deception. When we look at what the Bible has to say, and I need a little help in the back. I want it to, there we go. Well, we'll get back, there it is. Come on, folks, it's coming back. I just know, there we go. So many hearts are broken through deception. How often have I had to sit and listen to tears flowing down the cheeks of men and women who have done something they regret so greatly, and they've tried to deceive the one that they love so much. Hearts being broken. Broken. Torn up. Hurt. And even the one that sought to deceive knows finally what a terrible thing to pay for deception. The Bible is so, friends, how do we get our hearts back together? What does the Bible tell us to do so that we can find forgiveness for the terrible things we've done? To renew, mend a broken heart when deception has hurt so badly. Oh, the Bible tells us about deception. I'm going to give you at least three examples. We're going to talk about some things where people are deceived in, and hopefully to remind you to get yourself, if you're broken and your heart is broken and the heart of the Lord is broken because of your sin, to get us to do what's right, to get back right,
and live right. Yes, we may be kind of putting a band-aid on it somewhat. But friend, let me tell you, the reading of the scriptures John read to us this morning, listen to it, yea, and all that, will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. And that is true. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and themselves being deceived. Evil men, ungodly. And yes, they will inflict upon those who are children of God persecution. And then continue thou on the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned it. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, there it is, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Webster tells us, deception or being deceived. Someone who is deceived has accepted as true or valid what is false or is invalid. They think it's right. They think it's right. It's true. But deception means they've accepted something as being true that's false. Likewise, one who deceives others convinces them to accept as truth something that is false. That's the definition. In Revelation 12, verse 9, God says, that old serpent called the devil, he died, identifies him, and Satan which deceiveth, and look at it, he deceiveth the whole world. Wherever you go, whatever generation, what Satan mean to do to bring about deception? And the Lord put that in similar verses in His Word to warn us of a reality of world history, and that is the whole world. Global deception. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the truth or the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Deception. Let's look at three examples. Number one, Joshua, what a leader. What a man of God. We studied last Sunday, remember, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, 23 and 24. And yet this man made a terrible mistake. And Joshua was deceived. You remember the story found in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites. They're not from a far country, though they come. And they have clothed themselves with clothes and brought victuals. They've tried to impress Joshua and the children of Israel. They even tell them, we're from a far country. And the Bible says that Joshua accepts what the Gideonites have said on the basis of how they look. And Joshua failed to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. He was deceived. Found out 3 days later, these were their own neighbors. What a terrible thing it is to be deceived. Joshua, why didn't you ask God? A good question for us to ask. Number two, you remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Boy, he was with his dad. And he said to his dad, I want my inheritance, I want it right now. And his father gave it to him. He goes off into a far country, and here is this young man. He's having the fun of his life, he thought. He had the friends. And the Bible tells us that he spent all that he had in riotous living. Finally, he didn't have anything to eat. He hired himself out to even feed the swine. And the swine was that animal that to the Jew boy was a despicable despicable animal. And yet, what had happened to this young man? He'd been deceived in thinking that he could get away from home and he could spend the money that his daddy had for him. He'd do it my way, and he did it his way. But he was deceived. He finally came to himself when he didn't have anything to eat. He said, I know in my father's house, even the servants have things to eat. I'll go back to my father. I will arise and I'll go to my father. I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven. I do not ask to be restored as one of your sons, but make me just as one of your servants. You remember the story. A man that had been deceived finally comes to himself. He gets the thing corrected and his father welcomes him back. But he'd been a young man that had gone through deception. And for hearts, it really touches your heart when you find out that there's a dad that was deceived by his own son. Boy, these boys didn't like Joseph. His daddy had made him a coat of many colors. And boy, they were going to do everything they could against Joseph. They even sold him and took his coat, killed a kid, and took the coat and put it down in the blood of the kid. And they brought back the coat, and they said to the daddy, is this Joseph's coat? Jacob knew. That's the coat of my son. My son has been torn to pieces. My son is dead. And they allowed him for years to believe a planned deceit. Deception. Thank God. Joseph, whenever his daddy died, and the boys came to him and said, you know, our father told us. They were afraid that Joseph would do the same thing to them that they had done to him. Deception. So many times there are deceptions. Yesterday, my son-in-law, I told him, I'll keep the store for you about 3 hours. You go to my grandson and his only son, and I want you to go to the ball game. I went last Saturday and we won. So I expect the Monday when you go with my grandson and they play in that game, I expect you to bring back a good some rejoicing. I want to be happy. I want them to be winners. When he came back about 2:30 or so, I said, well, he couldn't deceive me because I read it all over his face, folks. They had lost. He said, but they did real good. They came back almost winning 23-20. I didn't say almost. I said, I want them to win. I said, when I go, I try to get them to win. But I tell you what, it's wonderful to have children. Some of you love ball games with your kids. I do too. Now we can't deceive one another or our faces or whatever. Now I want you to notice what Paul said about himself. I don't know how you look at yourself this morning. Do you look at yourself as one that's a pretty good person? I hope you do. Hope you are. Paul said, oh, wretched man, miserable sinner I've been. Who will grab me? And here's a translation. Who will grab me and rescue me from the awful destruction that awaits me in sin? I've been rescued by Jesus Christ, my Lord. I was deceived and now I am free. And who gets the credit for the rescue? In the King James Version, but I see another law at work in my body, warring against the law of my mind and holding me captive to the law of sin that dwells within me. What a wretched man and I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so then with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. My friends, when we realize that we've been deceived, we'll be like the prodigal son who will admit it and come back and say, I have sinned. Luke 15, verse 18. We'll be like the publican that came into the temple to pray. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18, verse 13. And like Paul, as we just quoted in Romans 7, 23 and 24. And remember Paul even later on as he's writing to Timothy, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, what do we do? Deception. Deceit. We deceive ourselves, John says. And the truth is not in us. And in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in 1 John 1, verse 10, John writes, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If you go to the very next chapter, 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Look at it. Fellowship based upon our walking in the light. If we say we have no sin, we've got deception. If we confess our sins, acknowledge them, we'll find forgiveness. If we say we've not sinned, you make God even a liar, because in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in 1 John 2, if any man sinned, he has an advocate with the Father, if only he'll turn and obey the Lord. When we have been led to believe a thing to be true when it's not, yes, we have been deceived. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, a passage that I want you to think about. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. Whose heart? Your heart. My heart. And God says, don't be deceived and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. We have such warnings in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. It's possible. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Evil communications, God tells it like it is. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And from the book of Hebrews 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Number one, we're warned in God's Word to not be deceived by false teachers. Peter tells us, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. What does that mean? That means, my friends, there will be people that are teaching things that are contrary to the will of the Word of the Lord. God says through Peter, they will come. Who will they deceive? Some will even deceive those who say they've never been deceived. Look, and the Bible says, privilege shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And Jesus Christ said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 24. And yes, false teachers can be so effective, and the only way to keep from being carried away by false doctrine is to know the truth. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to jot down about four things with reference to the truth. Number one, seek the truth. John 8, 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, love the truth. Whatever God says, accept it. And if you're guilty of it, do something about it. Change your life. Conform with the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be deceived, they be carried away. Obey the truth, Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. And number 4, be sure you abide in that truth. Whosoever goeth onward abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9, 10. You think we could be deceived by money? You think there are people deceived in thinking that if they won the lottery, everything's going to be okay for them? If they could just get rich, if they just had a lot of money. You know a lot of people that are wealthy, perhaps just folks that you've been acquainted with through TV. You may have some few friends that are just got a lot of money. Do you think that a person could be deceived with false security in having so much? Can we be deceived? In the parable of the sower, Jesus warned us against such danger. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the words and the care of this world and, look at it, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Matthew 13, verse 22. No wonder in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, you find God saying to us clearly, warning, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's what? The love of money, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The happiest person is the individual that has what God has blessed him with and using it right and has no confidence in money. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what is a man profited if he gains all of that? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Deception. Thinking that riches, wealth, is the way of happiness. But it isn't. And by the way, I had to add that. Same thing today. January the 29th, 2017. Another thing is strong drink. Why do people drink whiskey? Drink strong drink. Why are they so inclined to some? And you hear almost every week, somebody's husband or somebody's wife has got a DUI. They've done what? They've been driving while they're drunk. Can you be deceived? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Read it. It's there. God tells it clearly. One preacher told us in a beer ad, which told how a particular beer was sparkling, tasteful, and delightful. And he said he thought that it could have read sparkling, maybe tasteful, and deceitful. God said it so clearly. Deception, being deceived by strong drink. And don't forget that. Let us never be deceived by the misuse of our tongue. I mentioned in the class this morning as we're talking about the prophecies that's found in the New Testament that were given by Isaiah the prophet a long time ago. And how that Isaiah was telling about the Messiah, the Son of God that was to come. The name that is so precious in your heart, in your mind. And I don't think there'd be a single one in this audience who would ever name and use the precious name of Jesus in a profane way. And if people do that in my presence, may God help me to have the courage to speak up and say, I don't want to hear that again. That's the name of my Lord. That's the name of my Savior. And you may be deceived in thinking it's all right, but it's the name of the one who will save us. Jesus said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James 1, verse 26. And Jesus clearly states that we'll be judged by our words, what we say. Yes, deception. And don't be deceived by time. I hear people, when I'm golfing meetings, what a strange thing that there are people that will tell you after you've preached, maybe they'll say, you know, one of these days I'm going to get around and I'm going to be baptized. What? You hear people saying, I'm going to get my life all straightened up and then I'm going to be baptized. You better get baptized and then so you can get your life straightened up. Don't be deceived. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into a certain city and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's clear, James 4, 17. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9, 27. Time. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. The living know that they shall die. In Psalms 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Is he telling us the truth? Absolutely. What is that truth? Time. We only have so little about so much time. Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Time. I've preached my heart out to people sometimes in meetings, even here in this place. Telling you how much God loves you. Telling others what Jesus has died for you. That He wants you to be saved. But He's got a plan, and His plan for man is to believe that He is the Son of God. Stuart, wouldn't that be wonderful when you go to preach, son, to hear people stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, how we pray that if you're not a Christian this morning, that you'll not be deceived as far as time is concerned. Now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day that's accepted of God. So many things I wish I could say to you this morning. But in conclusion, deception. Don't be deceived like the prodigal son. Don't be deceived like Joshua. Don't be deceived like Jacob was deceived. Let us listen to God today, right now. January the 29th, 2017. Here you are. Here's your opportunity. And if you're not a Christian, may God help you to become one right now, obeying the gospel, being baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're Christian and you're not right, your life is not ready to be to meet the Lord, give an account of it, do something about it right now, won't you? While together we stand and